Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be in the studio once again with my beautiful sister, Tara. Yay. We have been studying from her Bible study, Tell It Well, which is the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts. And we've really just been digging and meditating and staying in the chapter 3.
Yes.
Last week, we talked about Peter's exhortation, his sermon, and he talked about that God is the servant, the suffering servant, the holy one, and
author of life. I love those three titles. You know, just to recap us so that we can know where we're at for those that haven't listened in on the last 3 weeks, you can go to November 20th and you can catch Acts 3 storied, told in my words. But we have looked at the expectations that we have upon each other. We've asked the question, does God have expectations on us? We have looked at the importance of knowing the giver in order to know the gift, and that we have to receive the gift. It's not just knowing. We have to, like, actually open it up, which is Christ, and that we have to know who we're dealing with. When it comes to our relationship with Christ, we have to know that he is the servant, the holy one, and the author of life, as Sabrina said. We're at the point in the sermon where he is preaching, and he has preached to them. He's actually, like, ripped them to shreds and said, look, you knew, and you rejected him. It comes down to that. You knew, and you rejected him. You denied him, and you chose a murderer. And what's going to happen is that they are cut to the quick. They are so cut to the quick that they cry out, what must we do? They ask, what do we do? What do we do? And I would like, Sabrina, I want you to go through and read for us. We're going to take verses 17, and I want us to read to, let me make sure I get the right parts. 17, take it on down to verse 21.
Okay. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets.
That's awesome. Okay, right here we have the exhortation. He said he's condemned them. Okay, you've murdered him, you've disowned, you rejected, and all. And now he begins walking them through what they did out of ignorance. Essentially, out of their ignorance, they rejected, they refused, and they denied. Now, I mean, you just think on those in our world that we love. I have loved ones. In fact, I have some little peeps in my life right now. They're not little anymore. They're in their 20s, but I love them very much, their family, that they won't even communicate with me. I have tried via Facebook and everything. It's just like the door has shut because they don't like the Jesus in me that they see because they're confronted with their sin and they don't want to have to deal with their sin. And I had one of them flat out say, you know, if I do get close, essentially I have to give up what I like and I like what I'm doing. And essentially that is what it always boils down to. When we have a sin in our life, we can literally make our sin, well, it is. It becomes like a little god. But in many ways, it's almost like a pet. You know, that we like how it feels, what it makes us, what it we feel it meets a need inside us. And therefore, we will almost become protective of that which is a sin that actually hurts and destroys and hinders our ability to draw near to God and know peace. And he says, you have done this. You've done the rejection, the denial, the refusal. This is what you've got to do. And so he begins to walk them through the process of what needs to happen. And so we're going to actually look at those. There's five things that I want us to get. He gives several, but there's five things I want us to take. And the first one is repentance. Mm-hmm. Okay. He says in the verse 19, he says, repent. And this word repent, what we need to do is, I'm going to give you a definition I want us to take for it, is that means to accept and to do the will of God. This kind of repentance isn't about an agreement only, okay? Mm. I can agree that it is wrong to lie, but until I'm willing to not lie, it doesn't mean that I have repented. I can agree that it is wrong to covet my neighbor's home. But until I am willing to accept and do that I'm God's will, that I'm not supposed to. So my big joke is that when I walk into a home that I'm thinking, oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. I don't know. Does anybody else do that?
Kim's.
Yeah. Just is so easy.
Happened.
I will out loud in front of the person say, Lord God, forgive me. Yes. I am coveting. Cleanse me. I will say it out loud. Yes. And the person just looks at me like I'm crazy. But I want to accept and do God's will. I want to value and appreciate where I'm at, but I don't want it to be where it's something that becomes a longing in my heart that ends up becoming a hindrance.
And I have just a quick comment about repentance, because I think a lot of times we get caught up with that guilt because I've repented of this, Lord. I've repented of this. Why is it coming back? And then that guilt comes where you're thinking, oh, there you go back to that same sin. And, so can you explain a little bit like how, just, you know, where that comes from and why that's not necessarily meaning that you're not repented?
Okay. That's good. That's very, very good. Very good. I'm going to take the full definition to use that as an explanation. Okay. Repentance is to accept and do the will of God. Okay, the acceptance is an agreement within the heart. The doing is the following through with the action. So let's say with the sin of covetousness, sin is going to come. Reality is it's going to come. We're going to walk into places. I'm just going to share my own sin.
Okay.
It's there. It's beautiful. I want it. The acceptance is I recognize it is God's will. I not covet and say, oh, and then down what I have by looking at what something somebody else has. To do the will of God in that particular circumstance, I'm confessing it to get beyond it, and then don't dwell on it. It may mean that I may have to confess 1,000 times and accept and do God's will on a specific circumstance to move beyond.
Okay.
Let's take it to a different sin. Let's take it to, I'm going to do one that's a society sin, okay? So I'm going to go, this is across the board. And so somebody in listening is going to get an ouch, and somebody else is going to say, you know, that's not my sin, so whatever. But sexual promiscuity, okay? Our society tells us that it's okay as long as you love the person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our society says it's okay as long as you are faithful to the one person. Our society says it's okay outside of marriage. Our society says it's okay because it's fun. But the Word of God says sex is for marriage. It is for one husband and one wife, and it is for their marriage relationship. To accept and do the will of God is to make the choice to not go there. Okay, and so it's going to be a process of breaking down that pattern of sin in someone's life. Okay, so maybe they have gone off into sexual promiscuity. Well, accepting and doing God's will is removing yourself from the circumstances. Then you get to the point where eventually it's only the temptation that you have with the eye. And so you're starting to guard yourself to where it's just the eye you're guarding, so that I just not even go there in thought. Taking it to that point and then allowing God to do the work. When we have gotten to the point where we have walked the path and that is no longer our sin, okay, whether it's coveting at somebody's house or walking the path of sexual promiscuity, habitual lying, I mean, whatever it is, we could go through the whole host of scheme of different sins that people can have. Once we've made it past and we're no longer doing the sin and we're walking where it's just us bringing it verbally before God, that's enough. Don't beat yourself up. Because if you're not walking the path, you're not doing the sin, you're in agreement with God's will, you're confessing it, that is accepting and doing the will of God. If you are still doing the sin, then that is not. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I know that I have truly brought it before God and God's cleansed me? God says he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he forgives us. The spirit of condemnation comes in telling us we're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you know it's not God. Okay? God's not going to come in and say, you're not good enough, you're this. He will not condemn you because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So do you see how the thought process takes a turn to a different direction?
Mm-hmm.
One is with an agreement into God's will. The other ends up tearing down the heart of a person. And if it's a tearing down of a heart, that is not God's will. The discernment of knowing when is it guilt and when is it conviction? Well, you know, because you know whether or not you're in sin.
Right.
Okay. And did I explain that clear enough to where I can understand?
I know that is a really thin line, and I know that a lot of people don't understand. So I just really wanted to sit for a second to have explanation.
Did I make it clear?
Yes.
Okay. I'm really wanting to make sure I got that clear.
Tara made it clear.
Because this is where it comes down to, and this needs to be a verse everyone needs to memorize. Sabrina, read again for us Acts 3:19.
Okay.
This one needs to be like written on your heart.
I agree. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing, yay, may come from the Lord.
Who doesn't want refreshment?
I do.
I mean, that ultimately what it is. And remember how we talked about the expectations. When we repent of our sin, the refreshment is so beyond the relief that we have that there is no burden, no condemnation, no weight, no tearing down. You know you have been unleashed and you are free, that you have broken that chain of bondage and it's no longer yours. And it is the most amazing thing to come to that place of time of refreshment. And he tells them, he's like, if you just repent, accept and do God's will, return to God, turn back towards God, seek the presence of God. Someone who is in the posture of seeking the presence of God is a person that's going to know what it means to have the times of refreshing. And he says that literally it wipes out your sins. Your sins are wiped out. They're washed. They're clean. It is no more. And this is just an amazing gift that God gives us.
Thank you, Lord. And if
someone has not experienced what it means to have that time of refreshing, one of the things that I did at a point in my life because there's different levels of us having sin in our life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that there are levels of sin because sin is sin, but it seems like we're either in the pit of sin,
right?
We're coming out of the pit, and we're above the pit, but we still have sin that comes at us.
Right.
And I would say when I was in the pit, okay, when I was actively sinning in a habitual way and not growing as I should, because I'm a writer, I'm a communicator, I love to write things down. I highly recommend you doing this. I took a piece of paper. I don't even know who told me to do this, but it was huge in my life. And they said, take one sheet, take 1,000 sheets, however many sheets you need. If you need, get a spiral notebook. I mean, do what you got to do. And I wrote out everything I could think of that I knew that would be out of the will of God that I have done at some point in my life. And so it's almost like I made columns of my sin. I wrote them out in detail. I wrote them out so that I could bring it before God. And then once I was done, and I felt like after several days I had really depleted to the best of my ability what I could recall,
right.
I took it and I burned it. Because that's what God does.
And remembers them no more.
That's exactly it. And there was something about that visual and the tangible of actually acting upon what I was doing, that it just gave me such a sense of freedom and such a sense of release from the bondage that I had. Mm-hmm. And I've had multiple times with different people in my life when I have given this challenge. And I have watched a person, literally their facial expression change in such a way when they did this, that it was like so obvious that the bondage was no longer on them. And one time it was so profound, I handed the person a mirror and I said, I want you to look in the mirror now. And the person picked the hand mirror up. I handed the person and looked in the mirror and started weeping, because it was the first time that person in their life saw themselves as a forgiven individual. Mm. When we are willing to repent, accept and do the will of God, return to Him, draw into His presence, that time of refreshing that comes, it's amazing. And it covers the Amplified Bible. I think it says that it's a recovery from the heat is the way I think the Amplified describes it. It's a recovering from the effects of the heat. So you think of when you're hand is over a hot flame and you pull back, all of a sudden it's cool. It's that recovery from the effects of the heat of sin. It's no longer a part of us. And what ends up happening is then we receive that which we have in Christ as the suffering servant, as the holy and righteous one, and as the author of life. All of that becomes evident in our life, and a time of restoration begins to take place and healing. And think of the blind man. Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have in Christ I give you. And he reaches his hand out, touches him. He lifts him up. And as he lifts him up, he is completely healed and completely restored by his faith in the name of Jesus Christ and believing that he could do what he could do. And so he was completely given the release that he needed. That is ready for you. That is ready for me. It's just a matter of us being willing to repent and return to God and allow Him to give us the time of refreshing that we need for His glory. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we're looking forward to you coming back. Next week, we're going to start Acts 4, and we just want you to know that we love you, but God loves you more. God bless. Man.